It's the 4th of July edition of Rosie on the House. God bless America. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We'll get right to the phones. We've got Jeb, Bernie, and Gene all on hold. Let's start with Jeb, who's been holding the longest. See how we can help him this morning. Good morning, Jeb.
Hi, Rosie. Happy 4th of July to everybody.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, can't wait. I get 4th of July through the 11th off. Oh, boy.
Woohoo! A whole week. That's some serious barbecue time right there, Jeb.
Oh, yeah. We're going to go to Williams. We're going to go do a staycation for 4 days.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yes, sir. On this electricity bill issue.
Yeah.
I got last year's bill and this year's bill. I noticed three things to talk about. They don't have your percentage of on-peak use down at the bottom no more. I noticed that my kilowatt hours have shrunk on peak. Last year at this time, the generation of on peak was $35. This year is $31. Now, my generation of off peak last year was 23, and it bumped up to 78 this year. Now, the cost of electricity used with all their fees and everything, the fees are what killed us.
Yeah.
Besides their 6% increase.
Right.
Was 132 last year.
Okay.
And 197 this year. Okay.
Okay.
That's
a big bump.
On peak.
That's a big bump.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
listen.
So the total price of it was 148 last year and 220 this year. And I live in a 1,250 square foot two bedroom house.
Yeah, that's brutal. Well, listen, Jeb, I tell you what. We're going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have you send me the rate, scan a copy of the bill. Get it to me over at Rosie on the House, and let me see if I can take a look at it. We've got to and we've got a call here from Gene down in Tucson, and he wants to know on TEP which program is best. Here's a general statement about buying power. The way the entire industry is going is the greenest thing we can do as consumers is not ask our home to consume any power on peak, which are the middle of the afternoons in the middle of the summer. Because all these utility companies must build their power plants to meet that peak. Well, if we can knock the top off of that peak, we can postpone plant development for decades down the road, particularly as solar becomes coming in and non-renewable sources become a bigger and bigger part of our energy supply. They're all going to be encouraging you to slide your consumption to off-peak. TEP has several programs that do just that. They've got the time of use, they've got the peak demand, they've got the demand time of use, and they've got the basic. Everybody's giving you the choice of how you're going to consume your power. And when people talk to me about saving money on their power bill, the first thing I have to ask them is, have you done a complete assessment of all the plans that are available from your utility company? And if you're willing to, if you have the ability, if it's two people in the house, if you one person in the house that goes to work all day, if you can have your house sleep on peak, then you're going to do very, very well. Then the people ask me, yeah, but man, I set my thermostat at 78. When it turns off at 3 o'clock, by the time it's 8 o'clock at night, the inside of my house is 90 degrees. Well, that's when we encourage you to supercool. APS is now actually advertising the concept, and they call it pre-cooling. You program your thermostat to get the house as cold as you can stand it off peak, and then the house sleeps the entire on-peak period. You're actually storing thermal energy in the foundations of your home, in the slab of your home, in the carpet of your home, in your mattress, in all the clothes hanging in the closet, in the window coverings, and the furniture. You're getting everything down to 66, 68, 70 degrees, and then it releases that energy back into the environment while your air conditioner is sleeping. And then the air conditioner turns back on when the off-peak hits. And I'm being told by many homeowners, my air conditioning contractor tells me that puts too big a hurt on the equipment. It doesn't. I've talked to factory engineers for every major air conditioning company in the world, and they will all tell you this is not hard on your equipment. This is very easy on your equipment. You're asking your equipment to cool your house when it's the coolest it is outside. And starting your compressor and running it long term is much easier on your equipment than starting and stopping, starting and stopping, starting and stopping, starting and stopping. You buy an undersized equipment, let it run long periods off peak, and you are going to beat this. You're gonna play this game, and you're gonna save the most amount of money, and you're gonna live more comfortably. So Jeb, shoot me that, and I'll see what I can do to take care of it. Let's go on. Let's get to Bernie all the way up in Chino Valley. Full 20 degrees cooler than we're experiencing right here in the valley. Bernie, how you doing today, my friend?
Oh, I'm here.
What you working on?
Well, we have a 2,000-foot manufactured home.
Okay.
Does not have an attic.
Yeah.
We have full air conditioning.
Okay.
And right now, the weather is not too hot.
Yeah.
We don't even turn the air conditioner on until like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening.
Nice.
In the afternoon.
Okay.
And it's only on for till the house gets down to 80, 81, and then we turn it off. But I think we would do better if we had some kind of ventilation in addition to the air conditioning system. But I haven't been able to get any information from anybody up here as to what to install or how to do it.
Well, you know, you've got a couple options. You know, back in the Midwest, they do whole house fans, but those aren't very popular out here in Arizona because they bring in so much dust. They really create a very, very dusty house because as you're evacuating the air from inside your house, you have to have doors and windows open, and it's basically sucking the outside air in. I mean, you could do for outside ventilation in a modular. I mean, you could just park a roll around portable evap cooler on one end of the house, blowing in through a window or an open door, and just open a window or door on the far side opposite end of the house, and just create that cross ventilation. At least it's being circulated through a wet medium where it's knocking down some of the pollen and some of the dust. The other thing you might do is not wait till the house gets hot to turn the air conditioner on, because now the air conditioner has to work super hard. It's not only trying to gain back the energy of recreating a comfort level in the ambient temperature inside your house, but everything inside your house that's now heated up to above 80 degrees is like a little miniature furnace that's giving off that heat. And as we remove the heat from the air, the heat from the furniture and all the contents of the house, then it's constantly trying to seek a balance. So now that heat is being released into the air that you're paying to have air conditioned. So maybe I would turn the air conditioner on a little bit earlier today before it got close to 80. Maybe at the point it started approaching 76, 77, I'd go ahead and get it circulating and turned on. And then you might just mount an evap cooler down at the end. Now, the problem with an evap cooler is an air conditioner works by taking moisture out of the air. The evap cooler is going to, of course, be introducing moisture into the air. So you're going to have a little bit of a cross battle there. But, you know, many times in Chino Valley, through all but the very, very hottest 2 or 3 months of the year, I mean, an evap cooler can get the inside of a decently well-insulated home, well, down to 80 really easy. So those are just a couple of ideas I have for you there, Bernie. Hope that helps. Let's see if we can run down to Tucson and talk to Gene. He wants to talk about the Tucson Electric Power. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Rosie. See, my wife and I never miss your show. I really enjoy it. So informative.
Well, Gene, thanks a lot. What's your wife's name?
Her name is Kathy.
Gene and Kathy. Well,
Gene and Kathy, yes.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
We're both retired, Rosie, so we're home during the day. We don't go off to go to work or anything like that.
Okay.
We've recently downsized into a townhouse here in Tucson.
Okay.
It's about 1,300 square feet, and you know, the explanation you gave Jeff was, boy, answered a lot of my questions. But we just had the air conditioning on here, and we haven't received our June bill. Yep, we've got the May bill, which was just partially for air conditioning. We keep it at 78 during the day,
okay,
and 74 at night.
Okay.
We used 456 kilowatt hours, and our bill was $75. No.
No, you're not going
to
do
it. We talk about going to this Premier plan. Do you think it's a good idea for us? I don't know.
Oh, Gene, whatever rate you're on, you're not going to get any better than you've got right there. I mean,
don't you think that's pretty good?
I think it's very good. I think you're doing spectacular.
I want to go live with Gene.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. No, Gene, you aren't going to get for 1,300 square feet, 456 kilowatt. I mean, you're using about half the electricity of the average homeowner in a 1,300 square foot home.
Wow. Well, we did put, you know, the new windows in a year or so ago and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We're careful about my wife Kathy, you know, keeps an eye on me all the time, so I don't leave the doors open and things. She,
sure. No,
yeah, you know how we wives are.
You are an extremely conscious consumer of electricity. You're not going to be able to beat a $75 bill for 1,300 square feet. You're doing great.
Excellent. Good to hear, Rosie.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. You have a good one.
Well, thanks for the kind words on the show. We show up every Saturday morning and do the best we can to answer anybody's questions about home ownership, and we've kind of skewed off to this utility rate increase. I mean, we've been on air 30 years, and I've never had a single topic consume virtually every employee I have for this amount of time ever before. I think it had to do with the fact that the Corporation Commission allowed APS to do this without grandfathering anybody in. So it was millions of customers mandated a change without any option to stay or be grandfathered. And I don't know that we've had another event that impacted millions within that short time span in the 30 years.
And it kind of flew under the radar, but that, from what I understand, that was SRP, the E120. I'm not an SRP customer, so I didn't really pay attention there. And honestly, I'm an APS customer. I didn't pay much attention there because there's nothing I could have done about it. It was a Corporation Commission, and what are you going to do, turn off your electricity? I mean, they got you. Solar, wind, generator.